Keep on loving is the title of the message. And if you have your Bibles, you have them opening them up to 1 John chapter 4. Start reading at verse 7, and we will read down. John says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is Son of God, and God dwells in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear." As I begin to think about what I would say, and perhaps my final message to you before we leave, I thought of five things to speak. And these five things, too, could be used to draw us closer to God. And I want you to think about love, but not just any kind of love, but agape love, sacrificial love. Love not wanting anything back or expecting anything, but loving unconditionally, loving with no strings attached, going out of your comfort zone to love other people. And if I could say something to you today, the first thing I would say would be, keep loving each other. We need to keep loving each other as a church family. And if I could say that to you today, that would be the first thing I would say, that we're to love each other. That is so much needed in a church today. We have churches today that when you go into business meetings, it turns into a Sunday night brawl or whatever. We have churches today that has adversity inside of the churches, and people are arguing against one another, and people are getting in these different cliques, and these different cliques are going against one another. And you have pastor fighting staff and staff fighting pastor. And I'm so glad that I'm part of a church where you do not see that. And we need to love one another. Over in 1 John in chapter 3, listen to what John writes here in verse 16. He says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso has his world's goods and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." We're to take care of one another. We're to provide for one another. You see someone in need, help them out. John asks this question, if you see somebody in need and you have what they need, or you can help them with that need, but yet you refuse to do it, John simply asks this question, how dwells the love of God in that person? Jesus says this in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. In John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, Jesus says this, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So my first thing for you today is keep loving one another. People outside the church will take notice of a church where people love one another, because they wonder what's up with that church when that church loves one another, when that church cares for one another. People on the outside take notice of that. They also take notice of that too when the church is embroiled in bitterness and strife. They tend to shy away from churches like that. But when they see a church that's filled with love, where members love on each other, they take notice of that and they are drawn to that kind of church. You know why? Because people on the outside are looking for that. They're looking for love. They're looking for a place that they can belong. They're looking for a place without strife and bitterness. They're looking for something. And when they walk into our church, do they feel loved? Do we shake their hands? Do we put an arm around them if they're having a bad day or if they're hurting? Do we put our love? Do we show them that we love? When a fellow church member is having a bad day, do you go up and pray for them? I mean, don't just say you're going to pray for them. Do you actually pray for them? Spend time praying for them. That's what John says here in 1 John. He says, you know, we in verse 3:18, he says, "Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." It's one thing to say, "Yeah, I'll help you out," and not even do it. Or say, "I'm going to pray for you," and don't even do it. You need to do it through deeds also. He says, not only in deeds, but in truth also. When you say you're going to do something, do it. When you say you're going to help somebody out, help them out. If you say you're going to pray for them, pray for them. But keep loving each other. One of the former churches that I pastored, we had children's program, and I remember one young girl, I can't remember what her name was, but she was invited to come by a friend of hers to our church. And she came, and after it was over with, and we was dividing up to see who was going to take who home, and you know, it was always kind of mass confusion because we had about 40 kids we had to get home, and we had just, you know, we was trying to figure out the best routes and everything else, and we just called it organized chaos is what it was. But I remember talking to this young girl, and she said a friend invited her, and she came, said a friend told her this. She told me, she said, "This is why I came, because my friend told me this is the only place she ever felt loved at." And she said, "Now I've seen it for myself, and I'm going to keep coming back because I felt loved here." Do people feel loved when they walk into our church? Do we feel love from fellow church members? Keep loving each other. Second thing I'd like to say to you, not only do we love each other, but keep loving sinners. So, whoa, wait a minute. What are you talking about? Keep loving sinners. That's what God would want us to do, is to love sinners. That's how we reach out to them, through love. We don't reach out to them by pushing them off in a corner. We don't push them off by ostracizing them. We don't push them off through hatred and bitterness. We love them. We care for them. They have a need. Meet that need. You look at Jesus' ministry, all throughout his ministry, you read in the Gospels, Jesus loved sinners. He had compassion on the sinners. You read throughout the Gospel, you see this phrase time and time again. He had compassion on them. We should have compassion on those outside the church. Jesus went to those that are outcast of society. He went and touched the lepers when no one else would even get close to them. He went to the woman at the well in Samaria when no other Jewish person would even care to go through Samaria. Jesus went because he loved. Jesus touched blind people. He touched beggars. He had dinners and lunches with sinners, tax collectors. That's who Jesus was. And that's who we need to be too. The problem is with the church today, the way I see it, is the fact that the church has fallen out of love with sinners. But the church has fallen in love with their sinful ways. We have a church today that has fallen in love with worldly practices instead of loving the sinners. We have churches today that want to act like the world, dress like the world, listen to what the world listens to, do what the world does, dresses like the world, do everything the world does. And you know what? The people out there can't see a difference between the church and the world. God called us to be salt and light. We can't be salt and light if we are acting like the world. We need to be apart from them. Yes, we need to love the sinners. Yes, we need to love them enough to go out and share the gospel with them. But we're not to love their ways or to love the ways of the world. But we need to love sinners. I've been writing some things down, taking some notes. I don't know if it's going to be a sermon series or a book or what. But I entitled it, When Love Becomes a Sacrifice. And in it, I kind of portray the message that sometimes we have to go out of our way to love people. Sometimes we have to get out of our comfort zone to love people. Sometimes we got to get out of our house to go out to love people and bring them into the church. Give you a wonderful example of that. Had a good friend of mine that I grew up with. And about, I went off to college, my first year in college. And he had went off to another college. But he was with a mission team. And they were down in southern Louisiana. And with this mission team, they were witnessing, they're going through kind of the red light district of that town, and they were having prayer walks, and they were passing out tracts, and they was witnessing to people. A young man came out of one of those bars, got in an argument with my friend, ended up stabbing him to death, killing him. Mom and dad of my friend, after it was all over when they did the funeral and stuff, went and visited that young man in jail that killed their son. The young man wasn't but about 18 years old. That family paid for his lawyer. He ended up getting 5 years in prison for involuntary manslaughter. After he got out of prison, the mom and dad of my friend continually went and visited with that young man and shared the gospel with him and led that young man to Christ. They found out that that young man's been living on the streets, stealing, begging, borrowing for whatever money he could get for alcohol. When that man, young man got released from prison, they took him in. And he lived with them. Went on to college. Graduated from college. How many of you would be able to do that? How many of you would be able to do that? How many of you would have hatred and bitter toward that young man? See, that's when love becomes a sacrifice. How many of you would be willing to love that much? Tell you another story, full of stories today. Going back to our children's program, we had two sisters come to that program, an older one, a younger one. The older one was okay. Nicest girl you'd ever want to meet. The younger one, not so much. She was a pistol. I mean, she was wild, she was crazy, uncontrollable, defied, you know, anybody and everybody, defied authority. She was a handful. And there were times where when I brought her home, I told her, don't even come back to church next Sunday. Sorry. But throughout the week, I don't know, God would change my mind or something, but I would call her grandma up. And I said, let her come back. But I found out her mom was in prison. Dad's been in and out of prison. She was living with grandma and grandpa. And I mean, she was a bear to handle. But we allowed her to keep coming. Because we loved them. And I know sometimes it's hard to love somebody. But God, that's what God wants us to do. But I remember we sent the kids to camp one summer. And she went to camp. And this is the first time ever I had Miss Rebecca call me up. I'll never forget. She called me up on a Thursday night. I had just gone to bed. Miss Rebecca called me up. I knew it had to be something important for her to call that late. First time Miss Rebecca ever called me up and told me, come get this kid. I can't handle this kid anymore. And I talked to Miss Rebecca for I don't know how long. And finally she put this young girl on the phone. I talked to her for I don't know how long. And I told Miss Rebecca, I said, it is Thursday night. I said, you only got tomorrow and tomorrow night. I'll be up there first thing Saturday morning to get her. Can you just hold on these next two days? And finally she agreed to do that. So I left early Saturday morning to go up there and pick them up. And I figured by the tone of Miss Rebecca's voice that she would be waiting for me at the front gate with that girl with bags packed. But that wasn't the case. I went in, I drove up, picked up all of our kids, took them back to church. But what's interesting about this story, that winter was a very bad winter. Her grandma called me up and said, can you take my two girls in for a while? we can't afford the electricity. We can't afford the heat. Now, I want my girls to be someplace warm, someplace where they could be provided for. I said, sure, we'll take them in. I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, he's just asking for trouble. But you know what? I don't know what God calmed her down or what, but the whole time they were staying with us, both of those girls were the nicest girls you'd ever want to meet. They helped out around the house. They did this, they did that. Not once did I have to get on to them, yell at them, you know. But that one act of love, that one act of kindness, because of that, both girls came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I remember the next summer, I went to camp before this young girl was scheduled to go to camp. I went to camp the week before. And I told Miss Rebecca, I said, Miss Rebecca, guess who you're getting next week? And she said, oh, no, don't tell me. I said, no, give her a second. Give her another chance. I think you'll find her different. She went to camp. I didn't hear anything from Miss Rebecca. Finally, Thursday, I called up there. I said, Miss Rebecca, how's this girl doing? She said, that's not the same girl you brought up here last year. I said, that can't be the same girl. I said, even the cabin leaders are saying that's not the same girl. Said there was one incident there, but said it wasn't her fault. In fact, she walked away and went and stood by her cabin leader. I said, it's amazing what a little love and Jesus can do. See, it's about loving the sinners. It's being a part of their life. Sometimes even getting in their face and warning them about their sin. No, we don't have to love their sinful ways, but we do need to love the sinners, because that's what Jesus did. So love the sinners. Keep loving the sinners. Not only do we love each other, but keep loving the sinners. Keep loving the church. Keep loving these buildings. I know some of them look like they're about ready to fall down, fall apart, roof cave in. But it's where we meet. This is where we worship. Love these buildings. Love these ministries that we're doing. Fall in love with them. This morning when I came in, they had a crushed plastic milk container or something out there in the park. I scooped up, picked it up, put it in the trash. Why? Because I love these buildings. Sometimes I walk in here on Monday mornings. I make my rounds. I come in here on Monday morning. I pick up all the old bulletins you left behind on the pews or on the floors, and the gum wrappers and the candy wrappers and everything else. Why? Because I love these buildings. I love this church. Keep loving the church. How do you show that? By serving. Serving in the church, serving in the ministries, by serving, by doing whatever needs to be done. It doesn't make any difference whether it's somebody else's job or not. If you see something that needs to be done, do it. Help the other person out. But love these buildings, love this church. Fourthly, I'd say this, not only love each other, keep loving the sinners, keep loving the church, keep loving the message. Keep loving this book, the message. I want you to read what David wrote in Psalms number 119. This whole book, chapter here, this whole Psalm number 119, David talks about God's word. But I want you to listen to what he says here. He says this in verse 11. He says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Do you love God enough that you hide his word in your heart, that you memorize? You know, we started having memory verses here. One of the reasons why we have memory verses, and by the way, this past week's is in your bulletin. The reason why we have memory verses is so you can start falling in love with God's word, hiding it in your heart. But he says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might sin against them. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches." Do you rejoice in God's word? When you pick up God's word and read it, do you rejoice? Even when it calls you a dirty, rotten sinner, do you still rejoice? I do, because even though I know I'm a sinner, I know God's forgiven me. And I can read about his salvation. He says, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word." Do you delight in God's word? You ought to. He says, "I will not forget your word." How many of you forget? I guarantee you, a bunch of you will go home today. And guess what will happen to this book? It'll go on the table or on the bookshelf somewhere, and that's where it'll sit. Till next Sunday morning, you wake up and say, "Oh, better get my Bible. Don't want to forget it." And the only time you open it up is on Sundays. That shouldn't be. Do you delight in God's word? Do you like reading it every day? C.W. Hoy, we called him Wild Man Hoy. He's a missionary down in the mountains of Mexico. Shared this story with me one time. He told me he was going down there. He said he started a church high up in the mountains there. And he says that church got to going and went strong. He said he got a message that church was celebrating its 10-year anniversary. And he said, and they invited him to come back and to speak, and they're going to have dinner on the grounds, and they're going to have big festivities and everything else at this church. And he said he went back. And he said, when we got there, he said, you know, they were praising God, said they were singing the songs and everything. He said, while they were singing, he said he noticed an old man come in the back of the church and sit down on the back pew. He had old raggedy blue jeans on. He had an old raggedy blue jeans shirt on. He said he had blue jeans wrapped around his feet that served as shoes. And he said he is carrying underneath his arm, said it looked like wads of blue jeans. And he said, "I thought maybe that was extra shoes or something. I didn't know." But he said he went on, said he spoke, said after church, while they were having the dinners there at the church, he noticed this guy sitting underneath a tree, so he went over to ask him his name and talk a little bit about himself. And he said the guy began to explain to him that 10 years ago he walked into that church. And he told C.W. Hoy, he says, "You preached the gospel, you preached about Jesus." And he said, "I accepted Jesus as my Savior." And he said, "And you gave me a Bible." And he said he took that wad of blue jeans and he began to unwrap it like it was the most precious thing he ever owned. And he said when he opened it up, said it was an old Bible. Said half the pages were gone in it. He said it was all dog-eared, torn, but he said he held it like it was the most precious thing in the world. He said for the last 10 years, he's been walking up in those mountains, sharing the gospel with people there. He says, when I come to a passage and those people really like it, and they don't have a Bible, he said, I just tear that out and hand it to them. Said, here, read it. And C.W. Hoy began to look at that and he said, my soul. Said he acts like that Bible's the most precious thing he owns. And here he is dressed and got blue jeans wrapped around his feet for shoes and going all over these mountains telling people about Jesus, tearing up his Bible for Jesus. Said we can't even walk across the street to tell people about Jesus. But how precious is that Bible to you? Is it the most precious thing? You know, Beth and I have a lot of stuff at our house. But you know what? To me, outside of Beth, the most precious thing I have in my house is this. Keep loving the message. Keep loving God's word. Lastly, I want to say this. Not only to keep loving each other, not only to keep loving sinners, not only to keep loving the church, keep loving the message, but keep loving the messenger, the one who gave us the message, Jesus Christ. And never fall out of love with him. Keep loving him more and more every day. Notice what John says here in verse 10 of 1 John chapter 4. Herein is love. That God loved, that not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. God loved us more than you'll ever know. God loved us more than you ever know. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 35 and following, Paul lists the whole things there that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from his love, but the flip side of that is what's separating God from your love? You see, we let sin creep into our lives. We let things creep into our lives. We let worries, we let problems, we let everything else creep into our lives that blocks us from loving God like we should. We should love God with everything we have. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. That means love God with everything you got. That's what you need to do. Is keep loving God. Don't ever let it stop. Don't let anything come between your love for God. We used to sing a chorus back when in my former college days. The chorus went something like this. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Oh, it gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with him over and over again. You want to know how you want to draw close to God? Keep falling in love with him every day. Today, you ought to be more in love with God than what you were yesterday. Tomorrow, you ought to be more in love with God than what you are today. Keep falling in love with God over and over and over again. That's how you draw near to God. And he will draw near to you. You notice what it's... A lot of times we get this verse backwards. We think, well, God will draw near to us and then we'll get closer to God because God's going to draw near to us first. But that's not what that verse says. It says for us to draw near to God. The Bible says you will find God when you seek Him with all your heart. You take the first step by drawing nearer to God, and guess what? God's going to draw nearer to you. Keep loving Jesus. Keep loving God. Don't ever fall out of love with Him. But love Him more today than you did yesterday. Love Him more tomorrow than what you did today. Keep falling in love with you. So as a church, love each other. Keep loving each other. Keep loving sinners. Keep loving the church. Keep loving the Bible, God's message, and keep loving God. You know, this whole week, God's been blessing me. And I don't know why. Sometimes God just hauls you off and blesses you for no good reason. Had a wonderful associational meeting. Matthew gave a stirring message. And I found myself falling in love with God even more after that message. When I think it couldn't get any better than that, I come to Wednesday night Bible study. Had a wonderful Wednesday night Bible study. And I walked away from here saying, wow. For those of you who don't come to Wednesday night Bible study, you ought to start. It's been good. But I walked away from here Wednesday night saying, wow. Then when I think I couldn't get any better than that, Beth and I got tickets to go hear Dr. David Jeremiah on Thursday night. And we went. And I expected to hear that. Now, I didn't think it could get any better. But as soon as we walked in the door of the Coliseum, Matthew was standing there, our director of missions. He said, y'all have tickets? And we said, yeah. He said, where are you going to sit at? Well, I don't know. We just walked in. We're kind of waiting on Bethany to get here so we could sit together. He said, well, you're in general seating, right? And I said, yeah, I thought the whole thing was general seating. He said, well, you want better seats, don't you? I said, what do you mean, better seats? He said, well, stick with me. He said, there's a guy from Bot Radio going to come by here in a minute. He said, you just follow me. And we're going to sit up there with Dr. Jeremiah. I said, you're kidding me. We didn't actually sit on the platform with him, but we sat behind him. And so we got to sit there, and it was just a wonderful experience to do that. Beth was excited because she got her picture taken with Charles Billingsley. He is the worship leader there at Shadow Mountain Church. And we've been knowing Charles quite a long time because he used to be the worship leader at Thomas Road Baptist Church. And he just recently went back with Dr. David Jeremiah. But Beth was just as excited to see Charles Billingsley as she was Dr. David Jeremiah. Y'all get with her after church. She'll show you a picture of him. Take it with her. But it's just like I've fallen in love with God all over again this past week. And I don't know why God blesses me so much. But I know it keeps getting better and better. And I don't ever want to fall out of love with God. I want to keep loving Him more and more and more each day. I don't know where you are in your spiritual life, but maybe you've got something against somebody else. Maybe it's time that you got that straightened out and started loving one another. Maybe you need a new zeal for evangelism. To go out and reach people, to love people. Maybe you need a new love for this church. Maybe you need a new love for God's Word. Maybe you need to renew your love for God and fall all over with, in love with God again. Whatever the case, we're going to give an invitation here in a moment. The altar will be open. If you need to come, come. I'll be glad to pray with you, talk with you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you and as we think about drawing nearer to you and how we can do that through love. And sometimes I know, God, it's hard to love other people, but yet you command us to do that. And if you command us to love other people, then I know you have given us the ability to do that. And I just pray, dear Father, that we will do that. Not only love each other, but love the sinner. To love the church. To love your word. But more importantly, to love you with everything we have. And I just pray, dear Father, if there is a need today, that your Holy Spirit will move. And that people will fall in love with you all over again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You come.